Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burton. Thanks so much for tuning into our EN channel. And as always, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so let me begin our time this way with a question. Are you good with directions? Like to get from point A to point B, like, are you good with directions? I'm not a good directions guy. Like you get some people, man, they're like the Yoda, man, a Jedi Knight of giving directions. And so like I've asked somebody, hey man, how do I get to Target? And so they're gonna start handing out compass coordinates. You know what I'm talking about, that guy? He's like, yeah, head southeast on Bloomfield Ave. And then when you get to Main Street, you're gonna head due north after that. And I'm like, what? Bro, I don't have a compass on me. Like, do I gotta look at the sun and figure out, man, where's the east and work from there? You know, I just want to get to Target, you know? And so, not very good with directions. I'm not that guy. And it's funny talking about directions. My wife, and I'm not just kind of trying to placate to my wife. Like, she is great at whatever she does. It makes me mad, okay, that she's good at everything. But one thing. Man, my wife can't read a map if her life depended on it. And so, man, there'll be moments like she'd be in the passenger seat, and it was definitely going to be a point of contention, heated fellowship in our car if my wife was handling the map, because she can't figure out how to do the thing. And I don't know if you guys remember maps. You know, if you're like Gen Z and all that, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And so, but they used to have these things called maps in your car. And I mean, you'd unfold this thing and it was the size of a beach towel. Like when you'd open it up, now that you have three quarters of your car, you have a blind spot, you know, like to crash or something. And then after you unfolded it, you could never fold it back the way it was again, all right? And so that was the map. But then, man, as a people, we evolved. I remember AAA, they actually came up with something called a triptych. And so you would have to order your trip, and then they would mail it to you, and it would come in the spiral notebook that you would fold over, and it would give you almost like turn by turn directions, and you would flip it over. It was the triptych, man. And then we advanced, because if you didn't have AAA, you know, you were screwed and couldn't get it. But then they came up with MapQuest, where you could go on this new thing called the internet, man, and you could print out, man, your journey from point A to point B. That was MapQuest. And then we advanced to something called, man, they had devices that you can put in your car, like a Garmin and something. You'd plug it into your cigarette lighter and kind of, it would show you the way to go turn by turn. And that was unbelievable. I remember we were early adapters of OnStar. Have you heard of OnStar, man? It was this one where you'd mash a button and then someone would talk to you and get you where you needed to go. I've told this story a million times. We might as well do it a million one. Is, man, I remember we had OnStar and I got lost in a really bad part of town with my family. And I'm like, oh my gosh, babe, I don't know where to go. And she's like, it's okay, we have OnStar. So I mashed the OnStar button and, man, I hit that thing and someone comes on, hey, Mr. Bird, we see, is there something I can help you with? I'm like, yeah, my family's lost. We need to know how to get to our home address. Here's our address. And they're like, oh, we're sorry. You didn't pay for the premium package, so we can't help you. And I'm like, what in the world? So I'm like, my family's lost. And so they said, well, we can't tell you, but we can let you know if you're hot or if you're cold. And these guys began to tell me, oh, turn, I'm going to turn left here. Oh, you're cold. And I'm like, what in the world? So that was OnStar for us. But now, man, all of us are so spoiled. We have, man, this dynamic GPS system, be it on our phones or actually built right into our car, these navigational systems. And hey, don't mishear me. I'm still not saying we still don't argue with our GPS every now and then. Is that just me where you're like, you're crazy, you're taking me the wrong way, right? But here's the great thing about this new dynamic system, that you could take a wrong turn. You can go the wrong way. You can avoid traffic, you can go through traffic, all these different things, but one way or another, man, that GPS, that navigational system is gonna get you where you need to be. And so, here's what I wanna tell you, man, all of us have a destination, a destiny from Almighty God. And I want to tell you something, that God has given you a navigational system. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. Man, that you have this dynamic navigational system in your life to help you get to where God has called you to go and to be. And so we're in this series, it's just called Asking for a Friend. And today's question is going to be this: how can I know God's will for my life? How can I know God's will for my life? And so let me ask you that question. Do you know God's will for your life? Do you know His will for your life? Like God, He reveals Himself as a father, and being a father, I know, man, the will of a father can be somewhat complicated. It's not kind of black and white. It's very nuanced. And I'll illustrate this way. Like for me as a father, I have all these wills for my children. I will for them to be happy, but I also will for them to be holy. I will for them to be healthy. And so I have all these wills. And listen, can we agree that sometimes those wills collide? So I don't know about you if you've had kids or not, but man, kids seem to have a death wish. They want to play with things and do things. It's inevitably going to endanger their very life. So they're going to go play out in the street. They're going to stick, man, some kind of utensil in a power outlet. They're going to try and like climb up to the most dangerous place so they can come tumbling down. And so, listen, I want my kid to be happy. But if his life, his or her life gets endangered, that's not a win. And so I see, man, little Johnny's out playing in the road, but I'm not like, oh, but look at how much fun he's having. Hey, I don't do that. Why? Because I'm a good dad. I'm a good father. And so are you. And so is Almighty God. And so, man, there's going to be a time God says, I would rather have you be holy and healthy than happy. Okay. And so in the same way, there's multiple wills in God, our Heavenly Father. And so this is by no means exhaustive, but I think you'll find it helpful. And let me give you the first one is this, is God's sovereign will. God's sovereign will. And so God's sovereign will, that just means, man, that like it or not, man, this thing is happening. Nothing, no one, and nobody can stop it. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. The devil, demons, nothing can stop the sovereign will of God. Psalm 115 and verse 3 says this: our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. And so, man, some people are like, oh, you know, fate, whatever will be, will be. Well, listen, we're not people of fate. Whatever will be, will be. We're people of faith. Whatever God wills, will be. And so that's the sovereign will of God. The second one is the moral will of God, or the perceptive will of God. And so here's what that means is that, man, that we see, like, through God's word, His commands, we get the moral heart, the character and nature of God. And so, do you know, in your Old Testament, there's 613 commands. And what's that designed to do is to convey to you and me how God designed the world to work, and as well to convey His heart. Love your neighbor, forgive, show mercy, all these different things. And so here's what I know is that God is not after your behavior. He's after your heart. And if He gets your heart, your behavior will follow. And so here's what's amazing. 613 laws in your Old Testament, but Jesus says all of that is summed up in one command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love God and love people. And so that's God's moral will. Then number three is this, His permissive will, And this is where man's humanity's free will comes into play, because like God is not looking for slaves that will obey. He's looking for sons that will love. Sons and daughters that will love. And so love requires free will. And so we see that God gives us, in His permissive will, He gives us freedom. What? To disobey? That we can choose between good and evil, right and wrong. Like He's like a good dad that gives His kids, man, room to fail. Because isn't that how we mature, how we grow, and how we learn? And so, but here's the big question: where does God's sovereign will and His permissive will, man, when do those things, does His sovereign will end and the permissive will begin, and our free will? And so, listen, I'm going to defer to someone much smarter than me, Charles Spurgeon. He's known as the Prince of Preachers. And Spurgeon says it like this. He says, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man are two things that few can see clearly. They are believed to be inconsistent and contradictory, but they are not. They are two lines that are so nearly parallel that the mind that shall pursue them farthest will never discover that they converge. But they do converge, and they will meet somewhere in eternity close to the throne of God. And so that's God's permissive will. And then number four is this, God's personal will. God's personal will. And so it says in Ephesians 2, it talks about this, that you've been saved for good works that God has predestined you to walk in. Like God has created good works for you to do. That Psalm 139, it says this, that man, all your days have been written in God's book. In other words, you play a part in the story of God. And so God has a will, a destiny, a destination for your life. And so do you know God's will for your life? And so I want to tell you, we do know crystal clear some of God's will, his revealed will. And that's in his written word, man, the Bible. And so that is the revealed will of God. And so what's God's will? His will is for you to be holy as he is holy, to be loving, to be merciful and kind, so on and so forth. Man, we read all this in the word of God. But my big fear is that sometimes people will want to use their Bible, you know, as a magic eight ball. Do you remember the magic eight ball? I think we got an image of it going up, and there's this cute little girl with the magic eight ball. Remember, you would ask it a question, shake it, and then you would look, and it would give you like an answer. I did a little research on this thing, and it actually was invented by a dude by the name of Albert Carter, and his mom was like a medium, psychic, a witch. Okay, and so it was supposed to be kind of like a tarot card Ouija board thing that she invented. It was called something different, like the psychic ball prior to this. And so it's not as cute and cuddly as this picture would portray. And so I would say stay away from that trash. All right, but sometimes, man, it's funny how people approach the Bible like the magic eight ball. Right, who should I marry? And you kind of open your Bible, Melchizedek, right, or Gomer. Where should I move? Philippi, right? And so, we don't use our Bible like a magic eight ball. Something interesting, in the Old Testament, it was eerily similar the way that God at times would communicate to his people. Obviously, he would speak, sometimes through a burning bush, through a donkey, through his prophets. But then there's other times when he would use these odd means. Do you know that the priest would wear an ephod and would have the Urim and the Thummim on it? It was this breastplate with all these stones arrayed on it. Think Infinity Stones, the Avengers, and they would ask questions, and then somehow, some way, God would illuminate and communicate through that. Do you know as well, even the disciples, they would roll the dice and try and determine the will of God. It was called the casting of lots. It did it all the way up to Acts chapter 1 when they were trying to land on a replacement for Judas, right? And so what did they do? They cast lots, man. They rolled the dice to find the will of God. But all that changed in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. And now we've received dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite or dynamic, where we've received this dynamic power to be witnesses and follow God. We have a built-in GPS system, the voice of God on the inside of us. And so there's a guy, a professor, an author, his name is Jack Deere. He was actually a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he got kicked out because he realized, man, that there was a Holy Spirit and the gifts of God were available to us. And Dallas Theological Seminary, man, great thing, but they're cessationists, man. They believe that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer in use. And Jack Deere, man, being a man of the book, he realized, man, it's just everywhere in the Bible. And so he wrote this book, Surprised by the Voice of God. And in it, he asks, he says there's basically three ways that you can sharpen your ability to hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Would you like to know those three ways? If you don't, man, you have to turn this episode off or something, because I'm giving it to you. The first one is this. Professor Jack Deere, he says this, be humble, be humble. Exodus 33 and verse 11, it says this, Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses, here it is, face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Backstory, it says of Moses that Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. Now, Moses wrote that about himself, so I don't know if you can do that, but this idea of humility being tied to speaking to God in an intimate and close way. It says in Psalm 138, it says that God is near the lowly, but the proud, he's going to know from afar. And so, man, humility is the posture of our heart if we want to hear and receive the word of God. I got to show you this video. It's been a few years since we showed it. And so, man, you need to see this cute little kid. But he lacks humility, and he just thinks he's so much smarter than his mom. And so why don't you check it out?
Listen to me. Like, I do this all the time. And if I go out at the house with the door, Matthew has his toys, and then Matthew has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Okay, Linda, listen.
Okay, what?
Like, everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
Linda, but listen to me. Look at, if you do something, if you get that out, that birthday off, you're going to break it.
Okay, but I'm letting you know
but
that you cannot.
Know. Linda,
no,
Linda, I'm. Look it.
You're not listening to me.
Linda,
listen to me now.
Listen to me now. Listen to me.
No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma.
Linda,
didn't you?
Linda, lick it.
Is that hysterical? Listen to me, Linda. Man, you see this little kid, this little boy, he can't even say the right words, and he can't tie his shoes, right? But he's going to tell his mom how life works. And isn't that us? That man, so many times we just think we know better and we're smarter than God. Man, God resists the proud, but he speaks to, he gives grace to the humble. Number two is this, be available. Be available. Listen, I think this is such a difficult problem for us today in 2026. Man, we are so distracted. There's so much noise going on. And if you don't believe me, man, just go to a restaurant just today. And I promise you, you'll go to a restaurant, you'll see a family or friends, husband and wife, sitting at a table, head buried in their device. Like, not communicating with one another. And heaven forbid someone did say something, it's just kind of like, huh? What? Right? So, like, we're so distracted that we can't hear from one another. How on earth are we going to hear from Almighty God if we don't make ourselves available? You know, Samuel, he was the last of the judges in your Old Testament, and he was a great prophet that God used mightily. But Samuel, when he was learning to hear the voice of God, he had to stop and make himself available. It says this in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. It says, "And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears." In other words, he paused. He created space to hear from God. And he became one of the greatest prophets to hear the voice of God. Number three then is this, be obedient. Be obedient. Do you know, I think Jesus, the Son of God, heard the voice of the Father really, really well. And do you know what? It's Jesus said this, "I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying." In other words, man, the obedience of Jesus opened up the floodgates to hear the voice of his heavenly Father. And I promise you this, man, there's this principle in the kingdom of God. If you're faithful with little, God will make you a ruler over much. And as you're faithful to hear and obey, God will give you more and more and more and more. And so be humble, available, and be obedient, man. It's going to sharpen your ear to hear the voice of God. Listen, I feel like I need to caveat hearing the voice of God because, man, I was so frustrated early on in my Christian faith because sometimes people just thought it was like, hey, man, it's super easy just to hear from God and do that. Hey, man, it's possible and probable. It's just not simple. And so I was so relieved, man, when a pastor that I respect heard from God and he says, hey, I want you to know this. When I say I've heard from the Lord, what I mean is I'm 80% sure I've heard from the Lord. It was like, oh, good, good. 80%. Okay. And listen, he's not alone in this, and neither am I. So the Apostle Paul, he wrote books of the Bible. The Lord Jesus himself discipled him and appeared to him, that he was taken to the third heaven. Are we good? So when they say, just think holier, smarter than you. And even that the Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, man, we know in part, we prophesy in part. In other words, he's saying, hey man, I got about 80%. That he'll go on in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, man, it's like we see things dimly as in a mirror. In other words, it's a little bit murky. It's a little bit foggy. It's 80%, okay? So if you remember Paul and Silas, man, here we are, man, the apostles, like heading out, planting churches. And do you know what? They didn't know God's perfect plan. They just went. They were actually trying to get to Asia. The Holy Spirit kept closing doors for them and sent them to Macedonia. But then conversely, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, hey, a great open door has been given to me in Ephesus, so I'm going to stay here. Closed doors in Asia, open doors in Ephesus. And so I guess my appeal is, man, we might not always know, man, the big picture, but keep knocking on doors, man, knocking on doors. And man, the sovereign God will kick them open if they're supposed to be opened. And so it's been my experience as well, is that God rarely, if ever, man, shows us the whole picture. Man, he doesn't show us the entire map because if we saw it, we wouldn't make the trip, man. We wouldn't make the trip. In fact, if you think about like David, man, he was anointed as a young boy, the king of Israel. Man, great, great vision. How many know, man, it was going to be a nightmare for a season. It was going to take him about 15 years of being pursued by Saul, man, on the run, fear of death, betrayed and lied to, all these different things. Joseph, he had a dream from God. He was going to be the prince of Egypt. And yet, man, it was going to take years and years of tears, man, discouragement, confusion, but until finally he was made the prince of Egypt. And so, man, if you're a man trying to walk on God's perfect path for your life and you're hitting, man, moments of difficulty, don't confuse difficulty with being outside God's destiny. In other words, man, sometimes, man, as you're on in God's perfect path, we're going to go through difficult times, and it's part of our training. Like you think about this, like Jesus, if difficulty was a sign of being outside of your destiny, man, Jesus must have been doing it wrong, because it got real rough for him, beaten, right, hung on a cross, so on and so forth. But yet he was in the perfect will of his heavenly Father. That the Apostle Paul, again, man, he was hungry, beaten, shipwrecked, hit with rods, all these different things. But what? He was in the perfect will of his heavenly Father. And so often, man, God will allow us to go through difficulty because he's training, imparting stuff that will help us walk into our destiny. And any good parent knows you do this, that you allow your child to suffer and to learn. It matures him, man, for the real world. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, it says, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. And so when you hear that word discipline, hear the word training. God is training you like a father trains a son and a daughter. And listen, you parent your kids how you think you need to do it, but you're going to stand before God, not me. And so I know, man, with my kids were going to learn, you will respect authority. But what if they're mean, Dad? And I don't care. You will respect authority. My kids were going to work hard, even when it got difficult. The Duke basketball, women's basketball coach, Kara Lawson, she had this great line. She says this, because freshmen would come in and then they were like, oh, this is so hard. I don't know if I want to do it or whatever. And she said this to her young freshmen, don't wait for life to get easier, handle hard better. Don't wait for life to get easier, handle hard better. Moms and dads, do you know what? you've been called by God to train your children in the ways of the Lord. Listen, we raise chickens, but we train our children, all right? And it's different. And so, and God's a good dad, and he'll allow us to go through difficulty in order to impart to us what we need to fulfill our destiny. Little side note. Hey, when you can't hear God's voice, trust his heart. Trust his heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And so when you can't hear God's voice, you need to trust his heart. That word for acknowledge him in all your ways, it's actually the Hebrew word yada, yada. It means to know intimately and thoroughly, to yada the Lord. And so it actually says in Genesis chapter 4, it says that Adam knew Eve and bore Cain. Adam knew Eve and she bore Cain. And so that word for knew, it's the word yada. Adam yadad Eve, and Cain was conceived. And so when you can't hear God's voice, you need to yada. Trust thoroughly, know him intimately, his heart for you. So my daughters, Cassie and Lizzie, man, I couldn't be more proud of my daughters. I am one proud daddy. They're great girls. But it's kind of funny, man. I yada my daughters. I know my daughters. So my wife and I, we know that Cassie, she's the firstborn. So innately, she's like responsible. She's a planner. She's got to think things through and do that. Now, Elizabeth is the youngest, all right? And she's always been kind of artsy, creative. She's also mischievous and painfully curious, right? And so when Susan and I, when we would leave our girls, if we were leaving Cassie in charge, man, we didn't think about anything. No care, no worry. Man, why? Because we yadad Cassie and we knew what was in her heart. Now, just the opposite was true. If we were leaving Lizzie alone at home, man, we were anxious, concerned, because I know, man, she's either going to like bring the barbecue in the house and cook, or, man, you know, almost burn the house down. Like, something's going to happen. Why? Because we yada my youngest daughter and know her. And so, listen, when you don't know what God is doing, man, what in the world, Lord? Can you yada his heart? Do you know his heart? When it feels like just, man, everything is hopeless, there's no way out, no way forward, can you yada the heart of God? So I remember when I retired from the National Hockey League, I thought I heard a calling on my life that God wanted me to go into full-time ministry. And so 80% sure. And so I remember, man, we sold everything we had. We moved to Manhattan. And man, I was carrying two mortgages, was not getting paid, you know, all this kind of stuff. Like, money's just burning through. Do you know how expensive it is to live in a Manhattan apartment, man? And so all this stuff is going around. And I just had this moment. What have I done? What have I done? Because I just had no vision, man, for our church plan and what was going to happen. But it was in that moment where I didn't understand what God was doing, and I had to yada his heart. And I want to tell you this, man, he's faithful and he's true. Do you know that when Jesus returns at the end of time, it says in Revelation 19, that it says that Jesus is the one that's called faithful and true. He's faithful and true. So when you can't hear his voice, yada his heart. And then lastly is this, is landmarks. Landmarks. And so I've already told you, I stink with directions. And so even street names, if you tell me, hey, go to Elmore Street and turn left and onto Main Street, I'm like, dude, I don't know the names of streets. I'm a landmark guy. Are you? You know where I need you to tell me, hey, man, hey, just head down to the McDonald's downtown, then bang a left. If you go past Target, you've gone too far. When you hit the ShopRite, bang a quick right, and you'll see it right there on the left-hand side, right? And so that's me. I need landmarks to bot me around. And thank God that God gives us landmarks, spiritual landmarks, to keep us on course to our destiny, our destination. Let me read to you one of the landmarks. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says this. and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so that word, let the peace of God rule in your heart, it actually could be described as umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. In other words, the umpire, man, he calls balls and strikes. Man, what's inside and outside. And so, man, let God's peace be the thing that helps you determine. No peace, no go. No peace, no go, okay? Let's fight to get the peace of God. I call it an amen from God. The word amen, it simply means so be it. And I'm trying to get my amen from the Lord as to should I go, should I not go. But to be honest, like sometimes, you can struggle, man, do I have peace? Do I not have peace? And I see so many Christians just bound up by indecision and fear. Do you know, it says this in Matthew 25, it's the parable of the talents. One was given five, one, two, and one. And the steward that was given one talent, he says, because he was afraid, he buried his talent in the ground. And you remember the master came back and he was furious with that one. And so don't allow fear of making the wrong decision paralyze you. If you can't find peace, seek righteousness. Seek righteousness. Or in other words, do the next right thing you know to do. Let me read to you Psalm 37 and verse 23. It says this, the steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. It's this idea, man, if you don't have peace, you can't quite hear the word of God, man, do the next right thing you know to do. That because God orders the footsteps of a righteous individual, someone who's seeking to walk in right standing with God Almighty. So we see this illustrated in the Old Testament. We get the patriarch Abraham, and he's with his nephew Lot, and they're growing too prosperous, so the two have to split up. Abraham, man, he's the elder, and his nephew Lot is the younger, so Abraham should get to choose what land he takes, but he doesn't do it. Abraham says, Lot, you can go ahead and choose, because for Abraham, there was no right or wrong, because God was with him. God was with him. And so seek righteousness and God will order your footsteps. One other last little caveat, I would encourage you to seek wise counselors as well. Seek wise counselors. Do you know in your Old Testament, man, Moses, he's leading 2 million people by himself. And so, man, he would have to be the judge, the director, the mayor, all these different things. And so, man, people are wanting to get stuff, answers from Moses, but, man, they're lining up. The people are getting frustrated. Moses is getting exhausted. It's not working out. And so, man, God didn't give Moses a burning bush for that. He gave him Jethro, his father-in-law. And he gave him wise counsel to lay hands on other leaders, to parse out the responsibility. And I want to tell you this, God will put wise men and women in your life. That's why it's so important to belong to a church. Don't just go to a church, belong to a church. It's why we try to drive people into connect groups or small groups. It's so they can have relationships with other wise people to help guide them and direct them, because God will speak through them. And so, Let me close with this. It was Christmas Eve, 1971, and there was a 17-year-old girl. Her name was Julianne Koepke, and she was flying a flight 508 over the Peruvian jungle, man, the rainforest, and as she was thousands of feet in the air, the unthinkable happened. Lightning struck the plane. The airplane snapped in half. Julianne, she was strapped into a piece of the fuselage that is plummeting down to earth thousands and thousands of feet. And somehow, some way, she miraculously survived the crash. And so she had a broken collarbone, her eye was swollen shut, several deep cuts. But she lived. She lived, and not only that, she survived, the 17-year-old girl, by herself in the Amazon for 11 days and found her way to safety. How did she do it? Well, the backstory of Julianne is Do you know that both her parents were zoologists? Her father, Hans, when she was a little girl, trained her in survival skills for the Amazon and for the jungle. He trained her early on to know this. You need to understand the wildlife in the jungle, what's safe and what's not safe. He taught her to remain calm amidst chaos, to conserve energy. And here was the money line that saved her life. He says, you always follow water. Water heads downstream. Waters lead to rivers, and rivers lead to people. He says, in the Amazon, water always leads to people. And so she followed a stream that led to a river that led to a village, and she found safety. And you know what? I believe that's for you. Man, how do I know God's will for my life? Follow the stream of God's Spirit. That stream will lead to a river, which will lead to your destiny. And God has a great plan and purpose for your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, God. Lord, for your living word. I thank you for your Spirit, Lord, to guide us and order our footsteps aright, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for those that, man, Lord, what you've called them to do and who you've called them to be feels murky, feels a little bit muddy for them. God, may there be a clarity, a crispness, an understanding, Lord, of what you have for them. God, I pray, Lord, for fresh ears to hear, Lord, your spoken word and you leading them in their life. We thank you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, every nation, the sermon's over with. We're not quite finished. I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. There's three ways you can give to our ministry. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. It's how my family and I give. It's super convenient and fast. If you text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. Or lastly, you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly and abundantly bless you as you're faithful in your tithing and your giving. Every Nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're amazing too. Have a great week.
The Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.